Praise God. Hallelujah. Marge, you want to, I'll tell you, just go ahead and lead us in prayer. Take prayer requests while you're up there.
Thanks.
I'm putting you to work, Marge.
Thanks. Prayer request.
I have Rebecca. She had surgery this weekend. She's in pretty much pain.
Rebecca? Joey? Anybody else? Nobody. Father, you heard these requests for Rebecca and Joey's friend Cheryl. Your blessings be on them and your healing for Rebecca. And we just praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Then we have a thank you from Brenda and Buddy. I'm not going to read. I'll just read what she wrote, and I'll put it in the back, and you can read the rest of it. We want to sincerely thank everyone for everything that they did for our wedding. You truly made us feel so blessed and so loved. You are our family in Christ, and we so enjoy your fellowship and inspiration. God bless all of you and your families. Our love and appreciation, Brenda and Buddy.
Praise the Lord. We'll have the ushers. We'll receive the offering.
I didn't forget today, guys. I normally forget the offering. That's why we don't have no money. I forget the offering. Parker, you go ahead and bless the offering, please. Amen. Short and right to the point. That's what I like.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. God is good.
All the time. That's right. Praise the name of the Lord. I don't think I'm going to put that on right now. And, you know, last week I talked to you guys out of Isaiah chapter 60, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And I went ahead and I began to talk to you about the gates that he talked about there. And back there in Isaiah chapter 60, he talks about the gates being praise and the walls being salvation. And I'm going to carry on a little bit with that theme today. And, Rich last week in Sunday school, before I talked about the gates, which, you know, we never coordinate things. We just let the Holy Spirit coordinate it. And the Holy Spirit is the best coordinator that there is. And anyway, Rich had the scripture written down in Ezekiel chapter 48. And he read the last few verses of that where it talked about Jerusalem and about the gates of the city. And back there it talked about, it told you the name, the gates of the city were the names of the sons of Jacob. And anyway, one time years ago, the Lord gave me a message, and I looked for my notes, and I really couldn't find them. You know how it goes. Sometimes after years, we cleaned up out our basement recently, and I can't find anything. I'm still having to reorganize everything because I redid my office, and I'm trying to get everything organized and can't find anything hardly. But you know what? I didn't need to find a whole lot because I'm going to talk to you about the gates of the city today. And I'm going to talk to you out of Revelations, the 21st chapter. And if you will, you can turn there. And I'm going to read down through there. And I'm going to read every verse down through Revelations 21 except for verse 8. And sometime I will preach on verse 8. Just by itself. It says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, The tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these are words are true and faithful. You know, when God says words are true and faithful, they're done. It's already accomplished. It's just we haven't come into the reality of it yet. It says, And he said unto me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely, and he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Wow, what a word, what a word. If I didn't even read anything else, that'd be a great word for the day, you know. you can't get no better than that. And you know, down in verse 9 it says, And there came unto me of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues and talked unto me, saying, Come hither, and I will show thee the bride and the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Now what I'm going to read here to you down through here, a lot of people think this is heaven. This is not heaven. I'm going to tell you, Jerusalem, you are Jerusalem. You are Jerusalem. You are that holy city. A city set on a hill can't be hid. I told you last week, arise and shine, for your light has come. If you go down into Cincinnati and you look up into Mount Auburn and you look up into Clifton and all them areas, you see the lights. And if you look up into Mount Auburn, you see Christ Hospital. They got the top of that hospital lit up so much, it just about knocked your... About blind you. You can see it probably for, and I know even when I was a kid, they had that thing lit up because they used to live over in that area. But I'm going to tell you, a city set on a hill can't be hidden. And you're a city. You're the city of God. It said, And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven last vials of plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come up hither, and I'll show you the bride and the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the great city, holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even unto a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east 3 gates, and on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. You know, Jesus talked about the number 3 a little bit. He told him, go and tell that old fox Herod that in 3 days I'll be made perfect. He went and told him. And we know that he rose on the third day. And you know what? You know what we're in right now? The third day from Christ. We're in the third day. After the year when 2000 rolled over, we entered into the third day. And I'm going to tell you what. He said he'd be made perfect in the third day. And I want you to know he's being made perfect inside of us. For know you not that you're the temple of God? And know you not that you're lively stones built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit, and that his glory is going to be seen in you. He said, I'll not give my glory to another. You're not another. You're not another. I want you to know this was not a literal city. This was a people. It's time that the people get out of the ideal of let's go to heaven, let's go to heaven, let's go to heaven, and start bringing a little heaven down here on earth. Let's get a little heaven down here. That's where we need it. And I want you to know, and he said here, he said, and it had great and high walls and had 12 gates. And at the 12 gates are the names written there upon which are the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates. Let's talk about the east here a little bit. We know that we know that the east, the sun rises in the east and sets in the west in the natural. I got news for you. The Son of God comes in the east too. He comes in from the east side. Let's talk about the east a little bit. Now let's go back into Ezekiel chapter 48. I'm going to read you a little bit back there. And these are the goings of the city. He writes back in verse 30. He says, on the north side, 4,500 measures. And the gates of the city shall be after the names of the tribes of Israel. Three gates northward, one gate of Reuben, one gate of Judah, one gate of Levi. Reuben, and then it says here, and on the east side, 4,500, three gates on each, and one of each gate. Joseph, one gate, Benjamin, one gate, and Dan, one gate. Then on the south side, 4,500 measures, three gates, one gate of Simeon, one gate of Issachar, and one gate of Zebulun. Then on the west side, four gates, 5,300, and the gates, one gate of Gad, one gate of Asher, one gate of Naphtali. It was round about 18,000 measures, and the name of the city from that day shall be, the Lord is there. Okay? Now, I want you to know that as far as I could ever study out, I never did see Ezekiel's temple ever get built. As far as I know, it wasn't ever built. Ezekiel's name means strength of God, is what it really means. And I want you to know that I believe these definitions for the gates, you can roll these right up into Revelations. And let's talk about the east first. And at the east side were 4,500. Let's take that number, 4,500. The number four is a number that talks about the world. It talks about where you dwell. You come into this building in here, and how many walls are there? Four. We talk about the four corners of the world. Well, we know there's no corners on the world. It's round. But I want you to know that number four talks about the world. Five is the number for grace. And 100 is the number for, let me give it to you. 100 is the number for election of grace, God's children of promise. Okay? That's what that number means. So 4,500, when he's talking about 4,500, he's talking about literally that the world is going to be experience the election, the grace of God, the election of God's grace, children of promise. And you know, part of the children of promise was, if you go all the way back into Genesis, was when God said, let us make man in our own image and let him in our own likeness and let him have dominion. That was just not some quaint saying that he said. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of people teach that was Adam. I don't believe it was Adam. I believe Adam fell short of that. But that's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it was the last Adam, Jesus Christ. He came and he was the expressed image of the Father. And he came that we might experience that same completion, you know. You know, when in the Old Testament, when God took woman out of man, I believe man, when he took woman out of man, man was a complete being at that point before he took woman out. But when he took him out, man became an incomplete being. And I believe that with all my heart. And he became an incomplete being. And the only thing that can complete you now is Jesus Christ. Because up in the New Testament it says, and you are complete in what? In him. He's the completion. He's the part that completes you. Okay. Now let's just take a look at that a little bit, and let's go on a little further. And it says, of the east there was 4,500 and three gates, and there was one gate of Joseph. And Joseph has the meaning of he is giving increase. You know, no increase that you have in God can come of your own volition. You can't make it come. He gives the increase. That's the only place it comes from. The next one there is Benjamin, son of the right hand. And when, you know, in the Old Testament, when we look at the story of back there of Joseph, when he was sold down into slavery, and, you know, he got, by hook or crook, he got his brothers down there after a while. He kept having them come back. And he made them bring down Benjamin. And when they brought down Benjamin, he set them all down at the table. And when he set them down at the table, he gave each one of them a portion. And that was nice. But when he got to Benjamin, he gave him five portions. Five is the number for grace, and it's a number for ministry. And he was saying something there. And then later on, when they went to go back home, he hid his cup. He had his servants hide his silver cup in Benjamin's sack. And Benjamin, they start down the road, and all of a sudden he sends them to overtake them. He sends his men to overtake them, and they overtake them, and they say, how is it you stole something from the master? And they say, well, we didn't take anything from the master. Oh, but open your sacks and let us see. Well, they get down to Benjamin's sack, and they open it up. There's the master's cup. Now, up in the New Testament, there came a time when John's mother came to Jesus and said, when you come into your kingdom, can one of my sons sit on your right hand and one on your left hand? He kind of answered them and says, you know, he says, that's really not mine to give. He said, that's whom the Father's like preordained that for, basically, is what he's saying. And I'm kind of paraphrasing there. And then he said to him, he said, can you drink of the cup that I drink of? Be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? And they said, yes, we can. He said, well, surely you shall. Son of the right hand. You know, they wanted to sit on the right hand, left hand. Son of the right hand. Now, let's go on to the next one. And it says here, the Eastern Gate, I see. I'm trying to look at these. These are a little bit out of order here. And then the next one was judgment. And, you know, the only time that you ever are worthy of judging anything is basically when you realize that God gives the increase and you become a son of his right hand. And then when you become a son of his right hand, you'll judge like it says in Isaiah, not after the seeing of the eye, after the hearing of the ear, but you'll judge righteous judgment. And you know what righteous judgment does? Jesus showed us an example of that. Everyone that was caught in sin that was brought before him, what did he do? What was his righteous judgment? What did he do? He forgave them. Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. Who did he judge harshly? The religious folks. The religious folks. Why? Because they didn't show mercy. They didn't show love. They didn't show forgiveness. They didn't show any of those things. You know. Then on the next one there, first one was on the east side. And then the next one is on the north. North talks about the hidden areas. If you look up the word north, it literally means the unknown, the hidden. And, you know, if you go back here and you look at the north, you'll see that it talks about northward is one gate of Reuben, one gate of Judah, and one gate of Levi. When it talks about one gate of Reuben, the name Reuben means see ye the sun or see the sun. Until we begin to see the Son of God in every situation, in every circumstance, and acknowledge him in every situation, you know, that gate is not going to stay open. And then the next one after that is Judah, which is praise. You know, we have to praise God in everything. You know, we just went through a session here of praising God. He inhabits the praises of his saints. Praise is the fruit of our lips. Last week when I talked to you out of Isaiah 60, the gates were praise. All of those gates that we're going to talk about today have to have the praise of God in them all the time. And that's what will keep those gates open, see. And then the next one after that is Levi. Levi means joined. What does it say in Ephesians, the fourth chapter? He that is joined to the Lord is how many spirits? One spirit. You ever notice how Christians talk about their spirit and God's spirit? What does that bring? Division. We got to quit dividing. There's one spirit, according to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. There's one spirit, one faith, one baptism, one Lord of all, who's over all and in you all. Let's quit dividing, okay? Let's quit saying my spirit. Let's say, Lord, your spirit. He gave you that spirit. It's his. It belongs to him. Praise God. Quit bringing separation. Quit being married to another. Be married to him. Praise God. All right. Now, let's look up here. And the next one is south, and there's three gates there. South talks about the pleasant. That's what it talks about, the pleasant. What happens every winter when all the old folks get aches and pains, and we got a few of them getting ready to go now. I'm going to call them old folks. Where do they go? Promised land, south. They go south. They want to go down where it's nice and warm and cool little breezes and all that. I'm just saying that because I'm jealous. I want to go too. Maybe my knees wouldn't bother me as much as they do or something if I get down there. Got a ticket for me? I'll jump in on with you. Okay. But anyway, the South talks about the pleasant things. Now let's take a look at that now. Okay. And on the south, there's 4,500 measures, three gates, one gate of Simeon. Simeon means hearing. Until your gate of hearing stays open all the time. And also, praise has to be in that gate too. Praise has to be in every one of these gates. But until that gate stays open and you start telling the Lord, Lord, I only want to hear your voice. I only want to do that which you tell me to do. I only want to move when you tell me to move. You know, then we're not going to have that gate open continuously. Now let's look at the next one there. Okay, the next one after that is Issachar. And Issachar means he is hired. He will bring a reward. Now, think about that. Remember when Abraham had his encounter with El Shaddai, God Almighty, in the Old Testament? And you can't have an encounter with God Almighty, El Shaddai, without having your name changed, your nature, your character changed. It's going to get changed. And what did he tell Abraham? He said, I am thy exceeding and great what? Reward. That's the only reward that matters. Him coming into your life in fullness, you being open to him all the time. Praise God. I am the exceeding great reward. Okay, the next one after that is Zebulun. And Zebulun means habitation. I love it. When you realize he's your exceeding great reward, he becomes your habitation. You know, Scripture tells us that we're lively stones built together for what? A habitation of God through the Spirit. You're lively stones built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Know you not that you're the temple of God? You're the temple of God. Yes. The Holy of Holies is inside of you. All of the things that the Scriptures talk about the temple is inside of you. You're his habitation. quit telling you, well, Lord, where are you? I don't know where you're at today. Things are going wrong. You're his habitation. He's there all the time. Whether you feel him, whether you don't feel him, whether you feel like you're failing him, just begin to say, Lord, I acknowledge my failure, but I'm going to walk in your victory. I'm walking in you. He's your habitation. You know, praise God. All right, let's take a look at the rest of them there. And that was Zebulun. And on the west side, let's take a look at the west side now. And up here it says, and on the west side, three gates. And the sun rises in the east and does what? Sets in the west. So that means that it finds its completion in the west. Okay? And, you know, I mean, let's face it, it goes in that direction. And there's 4,500, you know, in that gate. And first one is Gad. One gate of Gad, one gate of Asher, and one gate of Naphtali. Gad means fortune or overcome. Now it's time for us to start becoming the overcomers in all situations and all circumstances. You know, in Revelations, he talks about, to him that overcometh will I make a what? A pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of what? The city of my God. And we're talking about New Jerusalem here that's coming down from above. In other words, he's going to write the character and the nature of that city upon you. You know what the word Jerusalem means if you break it down? It means to teach peace, to point with the finger, to flow out. It means all those different things. I got news for you, folks. It's time for the body of Christ to start teaching people how to be at peace. Quit worrying about doctrines. Quit worrying about, I believe this thing and you believe that and we are at odds with each other. And we need to start just loving God and teaching each other how to be at peace and how to rest in God. We were talking about rest in God back there in Sunday school quite a bit this morning. You know, there remains a rest. And you know, we've been saying this a long time around here, and we picked this up from another brother. When you work, God rests. When you rest, God works. That's a profound statement when you think about it. I mean, it's profound. You want to see God work? Start resting. Start acknowledging him. Start relaxing. Quit trying to be so spiritual and start relaxing a little bit in him and saying, Lord, I'm going to rest in you. And part of the word for rest it has a meaning of reposing down. If you go up into Hebrews, reposing down. And if you look up the word repose, part of the word repose has the meaning of freedom from anxiety, freedom from struggle, and all those kind of things. It has that kind of a meaning about it, you know. Do you get anxious sometimes? Do you struggle sometimes? Do you find yourself getting a little irritated sometimes and all these things? He's wanting us to come to the place where we begin to overcome in him. The next one after that is Asher. Asher's name means happy. Happy. We try to find happy. You know, I used to like that old song, that one. What was it, Pharrell? Or was he the one that, yeah, something, be happy, you know, beat on his chest? And that song was so popular for so long. You know why? Because people want to be happy. It was a happy song. If you listen to it, it make you smile, you know. Don't worry, be happy, you know. Hey, I thank God inspired that song. I really do. Don't worry, be happy. And you know what? Happy is the man who's what? God is the Lord. And you know what the word Lord means? Sovereign controller. Do you believe he's sovereign? You believe he's in control? Then what the heck are you worrying about then? Are you trying to be in control? As long as you try to get in control, guess what? You're going to have a rough time of it, man. You're going to have a rough time. Now, let's talk about the last one, Naphtali. Naphtali means my wrestlings. My wrestlings. Aren't you tired of wrestling? Aren't you tired of struggling? Don't you get tired of it? You know, look at Jacob when he crossed over the river Jabbok and had his encounter with God Almighty. You know, when he crossed over there, what happened? He got a hold of the Lord. He said, and it says in the scripture, I'll not let you go till you bless me. Till you bless me. What's the church always saying? Oh, bless me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. You know what God wants you to be? Not a bless me, Lord person. He wants you to be a blesser.
Yes, amen.
Bless them that persecute you. Do good unto them that despitefully use you. He wants you to be a blesser.
Yes.
And when you become a blesser, you'll find that you've transferred over into the realm of Melchizedek in the Old Testament. What happened with Melchizedek? He met Abraham after the slaughter of the kings. And what did he do? He brought forth bread and wine. We know who the bread of God is. It's Jesus. When we come in contact with people, we, instead of wrestling with situations, we need to start becoming a blesser. We need to start giving them the bread of God and the wine of God. You say, well, Oscar, how do you give them the wine of God? You do just like Jesus. You let the water pot get filled all the way to the top. And when it gets filled all the way to the top, I got news for you. I could call on most of the people in this church, and they could get up here and preach a sermon. They could get up here and tell you all. When I share these scriptures, they all know all these scriptures. I'm not telling them scriptures they don't know. That's how filled with the water of the word they are. But I'm telling you what, it's coming to a time when God's going to begin to dip out of you, and it's no longer going to just be the water. It's going to be the wine. And like I've told you a lot of times, there ain't too many sad winos. They're usually happy-go-lucky and having a good time and loving everybody and acting foolish and jumping around, doing everything silly. You know, sometimes some of us in the church, me included, need to jump around and act a little foolish once in a while, you know. As that wine of God we need to begin to give that to creation. Not just the water, but we need to give some of them the wine. We really need to give that to the church out there. We really need to give that to them. A lot of the church out there needs to begin to get the sincere milk of the word, not the traditional milk of the word that they've been getting. A lot of that traditional word that they've been getting is not really, it's watered down. It's got no nourishment in it. It's not life, that's right. Praise God. Now, let's go back up into Revelations. But I'm going to tell you, and he says, after these things, and at the east side, 4,400, and you got Gad, you got Naphtali, and you got Asher, you got Naphtali, my wrestling. And it says, and around 18,000 measures, 18, remember we were talking about that number. What did we say 18 meant? What did we say? Bondage. What does 1,000 mean? I'll tell you what 1,000 means here. Let me look up here so I don't misquote it. 1,000 means divine completeness and the glory of God. 18,000. He's going to start delivering you from bondage and moving you into the divine completeness and the glory of God. Whoa. Come, bring it, Lord. Bring it. Bring it. We need it. Because we look at what's going on out in the world out there today. There's more bondage in America today, I think, than there's ever been. And that's a big statement. But you know what a lot of people are in bondage to? Heroin, drugs, all of that kind of stuff. I heard them say about Ohio not too long ago that Ohio is one of the worst states for drug addiction in the country. Now it's time for the body of Christ to arise and shine, for your light has come, the glory of the Lord's risen upon you. It's time for you to start saying, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. If you're out there and you begin to see somebody and the Lord says you go over to that person and tell them you love them or tell them God loves them or whatever, start saying, yes, Lord. Don't stand back and say, oh, but they're going to think I'm foolish. They're liable to push me away or hit me or do something. Start being obedient to what God tells you to do. Now let's go back up into Revelations and let's read a little bit more about this up here. Okay, it says, and the walls of the city had 12 foundations, and then them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Now, I did a study on that one time, but I'm not going to go into that today because we'd be here forever if I go into all these different things. It says, and the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And the measure of the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. 12 is the number for governmental perfection. And I told you what 1,000 was just a minute ago. Divine completeness and the glory of God. Okay? And it says, and the length and the breadth and the height is equal. And you know what? This thing's going to go the same in all directions with God. His forgiveness, his love, his mercy, it's his divine completeness, it's going to go in all directions. You can't put it in a little box. It's going to go everywhere. Praise God. It says, and he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits according to the measure of man. 144. The Spirit-guided life. That's what that signifies. The Spirit-guided life. And you know, as the Spirit guides your life, you're going to start setting creation free. You know, Romans 8th chapter is a great chapter in the Bible. I love that. A lot of people say, well, that gets quoted too much. No, you can never quote that enough. Never. Reckon the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed, not to us, but in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. They're out there crying. I heard a brother say one time, God gave him a vision. And the animals and everything out there was crying, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, that everything can be released into the perfect realm of God. And you know what? He wants us to start wiping away the tears from the eyes. Praise God. And he says here, and he says, and the building of the wall was of jasper, and the city was of pure gold, like unto glass. And the foundations of the walls of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedonia, or how you pronounce that. The fourth was an emerald, the fifth was sardonyx, the sixth was sardis, the seventh was chrysolite, and the eighth was beryl, and the ninth was topaz, and the tenth was chrysophilus, or how you pronounce that again. And 11th, jadeite, and the 12th, an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was as one pearl. I'm going to stop right there. How do you get pearl? You know how you get pearl?
Irritation.
You say, well, bless God, don't you know that sister? Every time I get around her, she just irritates the life out of me. Good. I hope she does some more. Because you know what? The more she irritates you, the more you're going to have to say, oh, God, please forgive me for getting aggravated at that sister. Please, Lord, help me get covered with what? The pearl of great price. And who was that? Jesus. And who does that become in your gates of your city? His presence covering you, covering the irritation over. You know, pearls are very valuable, and they're very translucent. You know, the light it kind of absorbed the light. A pearl just, you know, I don't even know how to describe it, but a real pearl is very beautiful. And they have a glow about them, and they kind of just absorb the light and everything. And you know what? He wants the gate of your city to absorb the light of God. And you know, people are talking about, well, praise God, I can't wait till I get to the pearly gates. Guess what? Guess who the pearly gates are? You. This is talking about the city of God. That's who this is talking about here. And guess who the city of God is? You. Guess who Jerusalem is? You. That's who you are. You're the bride of Christ. Praise God. And the 12 gates were of pearl. Every several one was pearl. And the streets of the city were as pure gold. And it was as transparent as glass. Now let me read a little farther. I got it here somewhere. Well, anyway, it goes on and it says, and the gates of the city will be open day and night. Now, until we begin to overcome in all of these things, until we begin to overcome where we see the Son of God in everything, our ears are open to Him continuously to hear Him. Till we are we realize we're not two spirits and quit saying your spirit and His spirit. Start saying His spirit because it's inside of you. That you're joined. He that's joined together is one spirit. We had a marriage here last week. Beautiful marriage. I loved it. Two beautiful people. And you know, one of the people walked away with a different last name. And you know what? When you come out of the marriage supper of the Lamb, guess what? You're going to walk away with a different name. You're going to walk away with His name. You're going to walk away with His nature. You're going to walk away with His character. You're going to walk away with His total authority. You know, I preached a sermon years ago about when me and Margaret got married, you know, that she had her name changed, you know, and I said my credit cards became her credit cards. No, she's really good. She's wonderful. She's a great manager. I appreciate her so much. But it's kind of fun to act like she isn't, but she is. And you know, all my credit cards became hers. All my bank accounts became hers. Anything, my cars became part of her car. Everything I had became part of hers. And you know what? That's what God wants to give you. He said, Father, the glory that you've given to me, I've given it to who? To them. Hello, them. You're them. You know you're them? You're them. Now glorify me with the glory I had with you before the world was. What was the glory He had with Him before the world was? He was the Father. He was so in the Father, He was the Father. You know. So think about that, folks. And then the gates of that city are open day and night. And He said, and I looked, and therein there was no temple. Wait a minute now. We're the city of God. We're the temple of God. But He looked in there and He saw therein no temple. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. You know, in the Old Testament, He says there's coming a time when I'm going to give them a name better than that of a son. There's only one name better than that of a son. That's the Father. And I'm going to tell you what, when the gates of your city are open continuously and people look in and all they see when they look into your life, those 12 gates, that governmental perfection, been covered about with that pearl, all that irritation, all that aggravation you're going through, start praising the Lord and say, thank you, Lord, you added some pearl to me today. Thank you, Lord. That's hard to do. But when they looked therein, they saw no temple, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the word for lamb there is the word lambkin. Lambkin. And you know who you are? You're part of the Lamb and His kin. You're His kin. You were born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, each seed after its own kind. Yes. I got news for you, folks. When the world sees you, they're going to see him. You know, the world's crying out there. They've been crying ever since. You know, Jesus knew that his ministry on this earth in the natural was coming to a close when the Greeks came and said, we would see Jesus. And they've been saying that ever since then, we would see Jesus. And it's time for the body of Christ to grow up and start showing them Jesus. Start showing them the Son of God. You know, he was the firstborn among many brethren. Hello, brethren. You're part of that brethren. You know. Praise God. You know, I love in the Old Testament, like I told you before, we have to begin to see him in all things. We have to begin to hear only his voice. We have to realize that we're joined to him. We have to praise him in all things. We have to judge not after the seeing of the eye, but righteous judgment. We have to begin to lay our wrestlings down. You know, we have to realize that he is our fortune. He is our overcoming. We have to realize that he is our true happiness. We'll find it nowhere else. You know, we have to realize that we've been hired. We were bought with a price. We're co-laborers together with him. You know, these are the meaning of those names. You know, we have to realize that he's giving increase. He's the only one who can give increase. You can't increase yourself. Only he can increase you. So quit trying to increase yourself. Just relax in him. Just move and flow when he tells you. Say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. You know? We have to realize that we're the sons of his right hand. You know, I've showed this before, but I haven't done it in a long time. But if we're standing on the right hand of the Father, or on the right hand of Jesus, what do we have to do if we're going to be in unity with him? We have to take our left hand and put it into his right hand. Right hand in Scripture talks about at thy right hand are pleasures evermore. Left hand is the negative side. In the natural, left-handed people have a struggle most of the time because everything's geared toward right-handed people out there. You know, and I mean, I used to teach people how to run machinery in a machine shop, and a lot of them guys would be going like this, trying to reach over here and do stuff, and I mean, it was just very awkward, you know, because everything was geared toward a right-handed person. And I got news for you. We have to begin to put all of our negativity into his hand. And when we put our negativity, all of our shortcomings, all of our failures, all of those things into his hand, his right hand, then what he does, just like the high priest or the priests in the Old Testament, they were to take and pour oil in their left hand. And they were to take their right hand and dip it into the oil and anoint people. And I'm going to tell you, the anointing has to flow through the negativity. But it won't as long as we're just the old worm and we're an old sinner and we're not worthy. You are worthy. You're worthy because of what he did. Not because of what you did or what you do. His grace, the grace is the divine, I like what the Strong says, it's the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection out into the life. His grace is unlimited. His grace, we're saved by grace, not by works, lest any man should boast. And you know, religion out there wants to put the works on you all the time. Right. Constantly putting it on you. Bless God, you better come and get saved again tonight. Most churches, people are going through, they'll come up and get saved 15 times. Well, you know, you got saved one time. That's all you need is once. It don't have to happen again. You might fall short. You might not walk in total victory right now. But I got news for you. A little baby don't walk in total victory either the first time. It takes a few steps. Half time it falls on its head and gets bumps on its head. And you wonder sometimes how they survive their little babyhood. And we need to quit laying that big burden on new Christians. We need to start telling them, hey, just relax and trust the Lord. Let him speak to you. Let him lead you and guide you. He'll lead you and guide you into all truth. He is the truth. You know, truth is not a thing. It's him. It's a person. You know, praise God. Praise the name of the Lord. All right. That's about all I had to share with you today. And like I say, I could have went. Sometime I'll go through this whole chapter, and I'll go through everything in here. But I tell you what, there is a lot in here if you go through it all. But even those stones and all the significance all those things have, there's a lot of different things in there. But I want to tell you what, he loves you. He, you know, people forget that scripture that they quote, for God so loved the world. He did what? I thought he was mad at the world. I thought he wanted to destroy it. I thought he just wanted to burn it all up continuously. No, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but they might have life and have it more abundantly. Let's tell them that part of it. Let's quit. You know, like I said last week, the word gospel means good news. Quit telling them the bad news. They can get the bad news from the world. Turn your TV on. I watch CNN and some of them shows sometimes during the week, and I think, oh, man, all I'm seeing is bad news on here. Boy, everything's falling apart. But you know what? Fall apart. Go ahead, fall apart. For there's coming a time when the kingdoms of this world must become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his what? His Christ. Hello, Christ. Yours is anointed out there. Go forth and ask him, what would you have me do today? You know, this whole thing in Christianity is very simple, and it's not near as complicated as people make it. It's very simple. If you was to break Christianity down into just a few words, I think all you'd have to say is just get up each and every day and say, Lord, what would you have me do today? Send people across my path and give me the right thing to say and let me treat them like I would want to be treated. What's that? Do unto others as you'd what? Have them do unto you? Not what they do, as you have them do unto you. And I tell you what, that's pretty simple. That's not very complicated. But boy, we put a lot of rules and laws and regulations on them. And you got to pray 14 times a day. And, you know, you better find you a closet and get in it and all that kind of stuff. And there's nothing wrong with that. And that's wonderful. And God calls you into the closet, get in that closet. He calls you into being quiet and still. Get quiet and still, you know. But I'm going to tell you, when I first got saved, I didn't know why I was doing it, and I didn't even know the scriptures at that point. When I first got saved, I would read some in the Bible. I'd close that Bible, and I'd sit there and I'd say, Lord, I don't know what in the world I just read. You got to teach me. You got to lead me. You got to guide me. I don't know. And you know what? He started teaching me and leading me and guiding me, and he started talking to me about the sovereignty of God and a whole bunch of things that I didn't hear preached for 15 or 20 years later when people started talking about him. But I tell you what, he is the teacher. The Holy Spirit is the one to lead and guide you in all truth. And we're coming to a day where you're going to have no need that any man teach you. We're coming to that day because you know what? The teacher's dwelling right inside of you. And most of the stuff I said to you guys today, you already know this. But I just kind of put it together and into a little bit of a picture for you. Well, that's all I got to share with you today. If you all stand, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. And praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, that name above all names, I just ask you, Lord, to help us to just relax and let go and let you have your way in our lives. Quit struggling. Quit trying to be holy. Quit trying to be all these other things. Just realize that if we'll just enter into that rest, you said because of unbelief that the Jews didn't enter into that rest. But we know that according to your word, that was even part of your plan there, because you were going to take a people out of the Gentiles for your name, and the people in the Gentiles are going to believe the Jews, the natural Jews, to that revelation of who and what you are. And Father, I just ask you in Jesus' name that you would just help each one of us each day to relax and just move and flow with you as your spirit would move us. And Father, we don't need to be struggling all the time. We don't need to be wrestling all the time. That nepotili that or that nefalti, that my wrestlings, you know, we need to give up on them wrestlings. You know, even when in the Old Testament when Jacob did that, it said, and God grabbed him by the hollow of the thigh, or threw his hip out of joint. And you know, I did a little studying on that one time, and I'm gonna tell you what it really saying there. He grabbed him by the loins. You ever grab a man by the loins? You women, if a man's mistreating you, you grab him by the loins and you grab him hard, and you watch and see if he don't say uncle, and he'll get in submission to you real quick. And he'll leave you alone, and he won't be messing with you for a long time after that, because that's his source of new life. And I'm going to tell you what, God got a hold of his source of new life, and he never walked the same after that. And his name went from being Jacob, deceiver, supplanter, heel catcher, all those things, to being Israel. And you know what the name Israel really means? A lot of times people say a prince or prevailer with God. It means he shall rule as God. Whoa. And he needs to rule as God in all of our lives. Praise the Lord. Praise God. God bless you all. What we got there, Rich? Okay. Just come up and share this. Come right ahead. We're glad to have you guys with us today. And I would have loved to just had you minister, but I felt like the Lord wanted me to share this word today.
The Lord showed us that someone here has spiky blood pressure, mm-hmm. high blood pressure, hypertension. It brings on tinnitus, ringing in the ears, and he's here to heal that.
Amen.
Someone has been having cramps in their legs, acid reflux. Connie had word that someone has pain in their ribs up front, mm-hmm. and ears that have a, she said, fuzziness inside. It's kind of a muffled sound. You aren't hearing distinctly. And we know what the Lord reveals.
Mm-hmm.
He heals.
That's right. Amen.
So,
amen.
This is you. Come on forward.
Yeah.
And just lay hands on you. And
amen.
You just receive your healing.
That's right.
By his stripes you were healed 2,000 years ago. Yeah. So here receive her today.
Yeah.
Glory to God.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God. Legs with cramps. All right. Right now, just
praise the Lord.
Receive. Thank you, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Your healing virtue flowing right now. Resurrection power manifest. Have what?